Good day, and welcome to the 4SC Quarter Three Results 2015 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Jochen Olowski. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon and good morning to the U.S. My name is Jochen Olowski. I'm the Investor Relations Officer at 4SC. It's our pleasure to welcome you to today's conference call on 4SC's financial results for the third quarter of 2015. Joining me on the phone today is Enno Spillner, Chief Executive and Chief Financial Officer of 4SC. Before we start, I would like to briefly remind you that during this call, we may make projections or estimates regarding plans and objectives relating to our future operations, products or services, future financial results, or assumptions underlying or relating to any such statements, each of which constitutes a forward-looking statement subject to risks and uncertainties, many of which are beyond our control. Actual results could differ materially depending on a number of factors. With this, I'd like to turn the call over to Enno.
Yes, thank you, Jochen, and welcome everyone to our 2015 Q3 results conference call. It's a pleasure having you on the call here today again, and our plan is to provide you with an update on our operational and financial highlights for the recent quarter and outlook for the rest of the year, obviously. At the end of the call, we will open up our lines for your questions as usual. In that regard, I have to excuse my two colleagues, Daniel Fitt, our CSO, and Susanne Danhauser-Riedl, CMO. There's a famous German airline which is on strike again, and they are caught in some flights still as we speak and unfortunately cannot attend this call. Let me start with the operational highlights. Q3 2015 was a very productive quarter at 4SC as we continue to make progress at all levels of the company. In early July, we successfully secured a 29 million euro capital increase for funding our research and development programs and further creating value for the company. In this context, we were able to strengthen our financial position also by converting a loan from our main shareholder, Santo Holding, of 6 million euros into equity. The proceeds from this transaction will be used primarily to start and run the phase II clinical trial for our lead epigenetic agent, the HDAC inhibitor resminostat, in the hematological tumor indication of cutaneous T-cell lymphoma, or in brief, CTCL. This is a niche indication with a high unmet medical need, in particular here in Europe, and it is a very attractive commercial opportunity, we think. While at least two other HDAC inhibitors have already demonstrated clinical efficacy in CTCL and two drugs received approval in the U.S. and also in some other countries, none of these drugs has achieved regulatory approval in Europe. We therefore see this as a chance to achieve an initial market approval for resminostat comparatively quickly and with a moderate use of funds and also with a moderate risk structure behind it while developing. We made great progress in preparations for the planned phase II trial in the reporting quarter. We refined the study design in talks with leading clinical experts, in particular in CTCL. We kicked off the final part of the CRO selection process, and we submitted our questions to the European Medicines Agency, or EMA, as part of the so-called scientific advice process. Briefly about this planned trial design, which is of course subject to the decisions with the EMA, which are currently ongoing. We plan to conduct a randomized, placebo-controlled phase II clinical trial with resminostat in CTCL in Europe. Resminostat shall be investigated as a maintenance therapy for patients with advanced disease who have previously received a systemic tumor debulking therapy. To our knowledge, there is no other drug either approved nor in advanced development in this patient group. The feedback we have received from CTCL doctors while preparing the trial to focus on the segment is clearly more than encouraging. We intend to kick off the trial in Q2 of 2016 and estimate top-line results from the study to be available in the second half of 2018. If results are positive, we expect to be able to file for conditional approval in the European Union based on these phase 2 data. Aside from CTCL, we will explore additional potential indications in the coming months and years. As in the past, a key focus will be on liver cancer, or HCC to be more precise. And with regard to HCC, we decided to wait for the phase 2 data in this indication from our Japanese colleagues, Yakult Honsha. We want to get that data in first. Once we get the lessons learned out of that phase 2 first-line trial, which we estimate for the first half of 2016, plus getting the biomarker data in as well, we will decide on how to design further clinical steps in HCC for Western world development towards market approval. In addition, we are also pursuing the development of resminostat as an immune priming agent. Based on promising preclinical data we delivered with resminostat already in March of this year, as well as data from other HDAC inhibitors around, we believe the combination of an epigenetic agent such as resminostat and immunotherapies, for example, checkpoint inhibitors, may yield tremendous additional clinical benefit to cancer patients in the years to come. In this context, we are particularly pleased that we received a grant around €450,000 from the EU Eurostar program in the third quarter of this year. And this will additionally fund the further evaluation of the immunomodulatory profiles of our two epigenetic agents, resminostat and 4C22, in preclinical studies. This Eurostars grant certainly helps further shaping 4C's profile as a key player in the field of epigenetic cancer therapies. Another event which I would like to mention in this context once again is 4C's 10th scientific symposium, which we hosted in end of September under the topic of epigenetic regulation of immunogenicity. Over 50 experts in the field of cancer, epigenetics, immunology, and clinical science discussed the topics of our headquarters here in Martins Reed, and it was a truly, I have to say, inspiring atmosphere, and again, truly motivated us to carry on our way to develop our two epigenetic agents further down the value chain. Speaking of 4C22 as the second epigenetic agent, some of the proceeds from our last capital increase will be dedicated to do necessary internal homework on this agent, exploring potential indications and trial design for the next steps towards phase 2 clinical trials. These could, for example, be trials for 4C22 in small cell lung cancer and, on the other side, on hematological malignancies. As a reminder, 4C22 is an oral selective inhibitor of LSD1 as well as HDAC1, 2, and 3, modulating both the hedgehog and the Wnt pathways, two important signaling pathways that play a key role in cancer. To the best of our knowledge, 4C22 is the only blocker of the so-called SMO-independent non-canonical hedgehog pathway in clinical development, and therefore could be a treatment option for those cancers for which hedgehog inhibitors to date have shown either no efficacy or a quick buildup of resistance. We are absolutely committed and enthused about taking the development of this drug further on. Finally, we further strengthened the IP position of our two epigenetic agents in this particular quarter. We received a U.S. patent for the use of resminostat in cancer and the composition of matter patent for resminostat in Canada. In China, a patent for the protection of 4C22 was granted in August, also further strengthening the compound's IP position. So let me now come to the financials. And before I run you through the financial highlights, I would like to remind you that the figures we will present here refer to the group consolidated figures for the period, and we have rounded up for simplicity. Full details of the group's figures, including the individual reporting segments, discovery and collaborative business, as well as the segment development, can be found on our website and in our quarterly report. Consolidated revenue in the first 9 months amounted to 2.9 million, which is down from 6.2 million euros in last year. In the third quarter, revenue decreased to 0.4 million compared to 2.2 million in the third quarter of the previous year. The main reason for the revenue decline is that previous year revenue had included a considerable amount of one-off payments for milestones, for cost allocations for third-party services to the cooperation partners in the discovery segment, and finally, in connection with a larger production campaign of Resminostat clinical trial material that was carried out for our Japanese partner Yakult Honsha last year. In addition, in the discovery segment, the research collaboration with Leo Pharma from Denmark was ended according to plan at the end of March 2015, whereas in 2014 it covered the full year. Due to the simultaneous substantial decrease in our operating expenses from €4.6 million down to €2.8 million in the third quarter and from €12.4 million down to €9.1 million in a nine-month basis, operating results remained practically unchanged despite the just described decrease in revenue. For the first 9 months, the operating loss, or EBIT, slightly improved to €6.1 million compared to €6.2 million from the prior year, which on a quarterly basis is it stood flat at €2.3 million. The net loss for the nine-month period amounted to €6.3 million, which is essentially on par with the previous year. However, due to the higher number of shares as a result of the capital increase conducted in July 2015, the loss per share for the first 9 months of 2015 decreased to 0.49 euros after loss per share of 0.6 euros in the 9 months of 2014. This results during the first 9 months of 2015 in an average average monthly outflow of cash from operations of 0.7 million euros, which is in the same magnitude as in the prior year. Due to the successful capital increase, the company had cash, cash equivalents, and other liquid funds totaling to €25.8 million as at September 30, 2015, thus considerably more than the €3.2 million at the year end of 2014. The transaction also boosted 4C's equity ratio substantially up, which stood at 80.6% at the end of the third quarter. In context of the current financial planning, 4C assumes that current funds will ensure the company financing into 2018. Based on current financial planning and the operating activities announced, we expect an average monthly cash burn rate from operations for 2015 as a whole of approximately €1 million. This increase, which is in line with planning, is predominantly due to the cost of preparing the planned phase 2 clinical trial of Resminostat in the CTCL indication. It is expected that operating expenses in 2015 will be higher than in 2014. However, 4C's consolidated loss will remain virtually unchanged compared to the previous year. Let me now come to the outlook. Overall, we have had a good operational quarter and have made reasonable progress with our pipeline of products, in particular further preparing the phase 2 trial in CTCL with Resminostat and strengthening our profile as an epigenetic oncology company. As we previously cited, our capital increase of net 27.5 million euros during the quarter will allow us to actively move forward with our research and development efforts for value creation within 4C. We remain committed to taking the next steps of bringing our epigenetic medicines, in particular resminostat and 4C22, to patients and thus achieve considerable potential value in our R&D programs. Furthermore, we will continue to work with our partners, Yakult Honcha and Minarini, to research and trial the execution options of resminostat in the fight against cancer within a series of economically attractive scenarios. To this end, we appreciate the great commitment of our partner Yakult, who is currently conducting two clinical phase 2 trials in Japanese patients, one in liver cancer or HCC and one in lung cancer, plus currently testing two indications in phase 1, namely pancreatic as well as biliary tract cancer. In particular, the data in HCC, which we estimate, and I mean this is an estimate by 4C, for the first half of 2016, will be highly meaningful to 4C, as we intend to develop resminostat further in this blockbuster indication in Western patients based on Yakult's phase 2 data and the pending biomarker results. Regarding our own activities, we will work very hard on the preparation of our phase 2 trial with resminostat in CTCL. We look forward to the EMA reply in the scientific advice process, which we expect for the end of 2015, latest beginning of 2016. We will eagerly work to kick off the trial as intended and just described in the first half of 2016. All in all, we believe the company is in a good position to launch its first 4C-developed drug on the market one day, aiming for conditional approval for the treatment of CTCL patients in Europe. We also continue to work hard on further development of the company's medium and long-term assets, also here again to remind you of 4C22, and evaluate potential value drivers within these compounds, also with potential licensing or project financing partners. We are very excited about the future of 4C, and we look forward to updating you in due course on the progress of our novel cancer compound. With that, I would like to thank you for your interest, and we are now open to your questions. Operator, please take over. Thank you.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. We have our first question from Tim Franklin from 4SC. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Hi, I'm from Edison Investment Research. Sorry, not 4SC. well done on the results. I just wanted to ask a question about the grants, actually, that you have secured by EU Eurostars. Clearly, there's a lot of interest out there in immunomodulatory drugs in cancer and many other types of drugs and companies trying to align themselves clearly with this hot area at the moment in cancer, but clearly you have secured a grant here for something. I wondered if you could sort of elaborate a little bit more on how difficult it was to achieve that and what sort of data you needed to submit to them in order to achieve that grant. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Tim, and that's a pleasure to answer that. So first of all, what I would like to point out, even without that grant, we would have pursued these activities. So this grant is basically helping us to leverage and put even more efforts into it, and it is also confirming us that from the authorities and from the experts who look into the future fields, this is a field of interest which they would like to see progress within the companies like 4C, for instance. So we are investing into that anyhow, and as I also mentioned during the trial, We presented some preliminary data on that already at the iTalk 2 conference here in March of this year, showing that in particular resminostat as an HDAC inhibitor has potential being an priming agent for other immuno-oncology assets, potentially boosting the efficacy of these assets. I mean, what we do is we, on a regular basis, do apply for these kinds of grants where we think we have something to bring to the table, and we have experience to running through the formal process. It also depends on the partners that you can identify to apply together, because this is not a grant that we receive on our own, but it's involving other parties as well. And there you require a good network and you need a good application. But based on that, I think it's not too difficult to achieve it. You just have to hit the spot with the topic that you are addressing. And I mean, also the amount is not, it's nice, it helps us, it's not huge, but we can make some additional progress on that.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Christian Glennie from Edison. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Just on the CTCL design, you talk about some refinements to the design. If you could talk, if there's any sort of specifics to be aware of, or some of the tweaks you may be making, and also on the same question on the trial, is it your expectation that as a result of the discussions with the EMA on the design and things, that as a result of those meetings and the design of the study that ensues, that you effectively get a communication from the EMA that this is essentially a study that is potentially pivotal? In other words, that it is the sort of study that then they would accept as on a conditional approval basis? Or is it that they is more focused on the study design itself? The conditional approval side of things will obviously just follow at a later date.
Yeah, thank you, Christian. Happy to answer that question. So maybe, first of all, I have to say up front, the interaction with the EMA is ongoing as we speak. So we don't have any final feedback yet here. And obviously, to be successful in the way I introduced the trial, so heading for a chance, if the data is positive, obviously, to go for a conditional approval after phase two, we have to make sure that this trial is set up in a way that the EMA is in favor of that, and that the EMA really likes the trial design. I mean, the rationale why we choose CTCL and why we choose the trial design, which I will just repeat in a minute, is simply because we saw other HDAC inhibitors that have been successful in CTCL and got approval in other countries like U.S., Canada, Japan, and so on. So we know the mode of action is working, and we also have in-house preclinical data that indicate that resminostat should be working on CTCL as well. Said that, the two other compounds were not approved in Europe, and in particular the vorinostat by Merck was declined by the EMA because the EMA obviously was not in favor of the trial design, which was a monotherapeutic approach or a monoarm approach. So we tried to talk while preparing that trial. We talked to as many KOLs who are also kind of close to the EMA and have experience with the EMA, trying to find out what might be a trial design which is clearly in favor of the EMA. And what we came up with is a kind of a second line approach right now in a maintenance setting, second line maintenance setting, recruiting in a randomized trial, one-to-one, roughly 120 patients, that's at least our current statistics, and then having one arm, which is resminostat plus best supportive care, compared to placebo plus best supportive care. And we think if we have that control and that comparison against the standard and second line right now, then this is what the EMA probably wants to see. I mean, we have to get into closer discussions with that, with the EMA, as I said, but we think this is the promising way that you need to tackle to head for approval or conditional approval in Europe. Obviously, the EMA would always take a step back and say, finally, at the end of the day, it will depend on the data that we present after phase two, which will make them decide on how to proceed or not to proceed. That's what I can say about that at this point in time.
Sure. Thanks, Elena. That's useful. Quick update, if there is any, particularly from Menarini and their plans, in so much as you can say about where they're at with their plans for their for the program in the territories that they're covering.
Yeah, I think there's no detailed update available, and I also cannot speak for Menarini. They have their own agenda, obviously. But what we know is that they are spinning their thoughts very much in detail around also HCC, like Yakult, and also around non-small cell lung cancer. But they are also evaluating other indications that they may start. They are currently checking on development strategies for conducting trials in Asia, and we also try to get Yakult and Menarini closer together, elaborating on potential synergies for an Asian development. But this will take some time. I would not assume that we see first patient in prior to 2017 in the Asian countries, in particular in China, because also the queue at the CFDA in Asia is quite long, and it takes a while to get feedback from these authorities. Obviously, Menarini is considering that in their plans.
Okay, thank you. And then finally, on just a couple of sort of guidance clarification. Firstly, just on revenues for the last quarter of the year, whether you've got any guidance on that in terms, because obviously the quarter on quarter is quite lumpy, obviously with the previous milestones from last year and things. But any guidance for the last quarter, and then just in terms of the actual cash runway, as you talk about the running into 18, you have also talked about the prospect that you might take 4SE202 into the clinic yourself. But presumably that current guidance does not include the assumption that you take 202 into the clinic quite yet.
Yes. So let me start with the latter, which is absolutely correct. The current budgets, which we mainly got out of the fundraise in the end of June, early July this year, are dedicated to running and executing the phase two CTCL trial. That's the major objective. That's the base case that we want to cover with this money, and this is where the major portion of it will go. It leaves us some room to do what I clarified as or described as homework during my little speech. So it leaves us a little bit of room for doing in-house research and additional work on preparing further clinical trials with 4C202. So in the field of solid tumors, we are considering a small cell lung cancer trial, which we are working on. And on the other side, on the hematological field, we are still discussing various options for going in here into phase two here. But said this, the current budgets do not include the execution of this trial. So this would mean additional funding, either by project financing, or by partnerships with regard to 4C22, which enable us then to secure the further development together with a third party. Both are options that we are currently evaluating, but I cannot at this point in time give any detailed guidance on when this will be happening. And coming back, sorry, to your second question with regard to Q4, revenues for this year, there will, according to our current expectations, there won't be any significant revenues. So we do have some revenues ongoing out of our current collaborations in the discovery stage. But as a reminder, we had last year when we had higher revenues, that was mainly due to some special effects from milestones and as well from clinical trial material that we produced for Resminostat. So the numbers will be lower this year, also in Q4. Sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Thank We will now take our next question from Thomas Schiessler from Equitis. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my questions. This is Thomas Schiessler, Frankfurt speaking. Actually two questions, if I may, one on 202 to get a little bit more clarity on the priority of 202 projects. I know you pointed out that there are talks going on with potential partners concerning financing and partnering of potential phase two trials on 202. But if I got you right, this is definitely not the first priority. So those talks are not on extra efforts to continue. This is the one question. The other is on definitely on CTCL project with resminostat. Thank you for giving us a little bit more insight on your thoughts on the potential trial design, and you lined out that this trial design might be a second line indication in CTCL. How confident are you that this proposal of a trial design might be accepted by the EMA, or is there a potential totally different design proposition coming out preferred by the EMA? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Thomas. Pleasure having you on the call again. So with regard to 4C22, I mean, obviously the major objective is to securing further development of 4C22 in significant phase two trials. And therefore we try to not be dogmatic, but explore the different ways that are feasible. But as we have limitations on our budgeting, as I just described, we will have to find other ways to continue here. And this, of course, includes also the potential of partnering. However, we think we further focus for C on the epigenetic approach, and for C22, besides resminostat, is our second epigenetic asset, which is in advanced stage. So it has a very high importance to us, and it also is of high strategic value to us. So we will really try to identify partners that really can bring additional value to this asset and really have the right capacity and the right experience to move such an asset forward in the clinic together with 4C. And therefore, we have to do that as a careful process and obviously in parallel also looking for other solutions while in-house preparing the next steps so that we are ready for the in-depth discussion with such a potential partner. With regard to resminostat and CTCL, I mean, as it is obvious, this is our most important trial right now here at 4C in-house, and so we try to do our utmost to secure that we have a trial design that is first of all feasible and is also aligned with clinical reality. So we talk to many doctors out there who are involved in daily treatment of patients with CTCL, and got their feedback with regard whether this is also a trial that will be accepted by the medical persons and by the patients, and obviously is also somehow involved into clinical reality and clinical practice of these kind of indications. And second, we try to do it through our KOL network to explore trial design that is obviously, as I already said, to the satisfaction of the EMA. When we handed in our documents to the EMA, you have the chance also to pose a lot of questions to the EMA, and we did that in a way that we try to get feedback from the EMA that will give us a good feeling whether we are on the right track or not. This is very important, and we try to secure that, as I said, by also questioning a lot of external expertise, getting them in-house here, and they participated significantly in our trial design. So I think we covered all that we can do from our end so far. It is a niche indication, so it is not easy for recruiting, so we try to find also in that regard a good way that leaves it as broad as possible for recruiting patients. But at the end of the day, you also need data that can really be conclusive and that can tell something to the authorities and to the doctors, and we try to gather all this in the current trial design.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Additional question on that. What is your opinion and your gut feel if it comes to the intention of the EMA to get to an approval for this indication? Up to now, there is no approved medication in the EU for CTCL. Is this of interest for the in the EMA, or is this a small niche indication and it's of not of utmost importance for EMA?
Well, I definitely cannot speak for the EMA, and I clearly will not because that would be kind of very risky, I guess. But, I mean, what we see is that in other countries like the US, there's two HDACs approved in CTCL, and they are being used on a high frequency. So they make good revenues, and they are accepted by the patients. And if you look at the treatments in particular in the US, there are several lines of treatments, and repeatedly these HDAC inhibitors are being brought to the patients quite successfully. And there's no such thing right now in Europe available. There's no kind of similar treatment in Europe. So there is a certain pressure here to get something on the market. And there's also nothing else underway that is in a similar stage as an oral drug or HDAC inhibitor like 4C here in Europe. So I would carefully assume that there's a high interest by the EMA, in particular because it's an orphan indication, to find other solutions here in the near future. And if 4C has something to offer here, I'm really much looking forward to the discussions with the EMA.
Okay. Thank you. Hello. Good luck.
Pleasure.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We have our next question from Marietta. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. And I apologize, there was just some problems with the line, so I hope you didn't answer my questions in the last 5 minutes. The first question is on resminostat and CTCL. Just wanted to follow up on Thomas's trial design question. So I understand you expect to receive scientific advice from the EMA shortly, and then you're in a better position to give us details. But can you already give us an idea of what the main areas of attention might be, and in particular, how we should think about the positioning of resminostat in an evolving competitive landscape? So I appreciate your intent to position this as a maintenance therapy, but obviously some drug candidates may become standard of care instead of the first line that you can't yet include in the trial because they're not commercial yet. So how can you ensure that physicians will feel comfortable giving resminostat as maintenance therapy after a patient has potentially failed other targeted therapies? And then the second question, just wanted to come back to the financing and prioritization question of 4C202, 205, and resminostat in liver cancer. So can you just give us a rough idea what the cost would be for the next step for each of the molecules, assuming that the data coming out of EACOLD is positive? And I appreciate there's a lot of scenarios for resminostat and liver cancer, but I mean, is there basically what I'm driving at? Is there any scenario where you might be able to finance a small next liver cancer study?
Apologies, it appears that we have lost Smarietta Meats. We have another question. Would you like to answer that question, sir?
Yes, I will. I thought there was some discontinuation here in the connection. So, Marietta, thank you for these different questions. And let me maybe start with regard to the CTCL Resminostat. So you mentioned the question with regard to standard of care and maintenance. Actually, in Europe, there's currently only one treatment in the first line officially approved with regard to systemic treatment, and this is the use of interferon alpha or bexarotene in the first line, and then basically all patients do progress after a while under this treatment. Currently the treatment regimen for second line alike, so to say, even though it's not really officially approved, is then salvage chemotherapy, for instance, gemcitabine being used for those patients. But also only this is really for debulking the size of the tumor mainly and trying to stabilize the patient for some more time. And then patients do progress and do not have many other treatment options. We think we should start with Resminostat here on a maintenance approach once these patients do come, for instance, out of such a salvage chemotherapy and then at least being stable or even in better conditions, and then we can put them on a maintenance progress. This is probably the least aggressive approach of showing that Resminostat can be successful and can show a prolong in progression-free survival compared to the other best supportive care that is available. Said that, we obviously still have the freedom to move further up into first line later on. But right now, the major objective that we want to show with Resminostat in CTCL is that we can achieve approval and that we can get Resminostat to the market in a niche indication. Therefore, we choose the way that has also the most reduced risk and probably the best likelihood on achieving success here. And in that regard, we also think that this should be a way that the EMA will support. With regard to financing, of course, you're absolutely right. The other next steps with regard to Resminostat, for instance, in HCC, but also with regard to 2-2, are not yet in our budgets. For C2-2, we have, for instance, for pair one phase two indication, we estimate currently roughly 6 to 8 million euros. So if that would be two, we would be probably in the ballpark of somewhere of 15 million euros in total that we would have to secure here. Or if we could share the funding with a partner, then it could be reduced accordingly. With regard to 205, there is no significant plannings and details here right now because we think in 205 we should first get some additional data on board by in-house work that we are conducting on that asset, but also by potentially running some investigator-driven trials with 4C205 and in collaboration with specialized clinics in specialized indications. So this is something we are exploring right now, and this would not require sufficient funding or significant funding from 4C's end. With regard to Resminostat, this obviously would depend on further positive data from Japan. And based on that, we could secure either additional financing or get back to partnering talks on that data. But here we are clearly talking, since this would be a significant phase two trial at least, we are talking about 25 million euros and north about that if we want to do that in the all Western world, mainly US and Europe. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Marcus Melkbus from Hestia Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes. It's a question actually concerning the slightly changing landscape in standard of care, in particular checkpoint inhibitors, and there sort of is some data around that shows that epigenetic NHDAC inhibitors and checkpoint inhibitors have some interesting synergistic effect. Do you have any thoughts on that, any preclinical data, anything in NSCLC in particular, where obviously checkpoint inhibitors are entering the standard of care in sort of a major way now, on how that might work?
Yes, thank you, Marcus, for your question. I mean, obviously, what has been observed lately is that HDAC inhibitors do bring, or epigenetics in general, but also in particular HDAC inhibitors, do bring potentially to activate the immune system in a way that this could make other immunogenetic immuno-oncology assets more powerful, increasing the success rate here, so to say. And there has been, for instance, the Zundax and Tinostat is another reference that has been very successful and has shown some data, which actually caused this kind of discussions. But also Mirati with Mocotinostat showed some good data here, and they are working, I think, with MedImmune together in a partnering, further exploring that. And what we sense right now is that there's quite a few of the big players out there having PD-1s, PD-L1s, and other kind of checkpoint inhibitors in their hands, developing that. And they are searching for future partnerships, finding additional assets that can be combined with their therapeutic approaches, and then boosting or leveraging the efficacy. And the approach is that these companies go out and do tests with different companies together, joining the assets on an MTA basis, and if that is promising data that is coming out of these assays, then you are into more in-depth talks with these kind of players. That's the approach that we see, not only here at 4C, but probably also at other companies. And in parallel, we are working on generating own further data with regard to Resminostat and 202, because both as epigenetic drugs do bring their potential, and we hope we can present more data on this in early 2016, showing that to the public.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. I'll wait for those data. I find them very, very interesting, and in particular the question there, but probably don't have that yet, is whether on the relatively low PD-L, PD-1 expression tumors, do you get additional response rates when you combine? But I guess we'll have to wait until you have the data. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely right. Thank you. I mean, that's the idea behind it. And maybe as a last remark, Resminostat and 2-2 both show very benign side effect profiles, which you obviously need when you want to combine these kind of assets. In particular, Resminostat has been already in several trials in combination with chemotherapy approaches, but also with other assets like sorafenib and others. So here we do feel quite comfortable that Resminostat can be in the future well combined with other assets. Thank you.
Good. Yeah, thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. We have no further questions at this time, sir.
Okay, thank you very much, operator, and thank you all for a lot of questions today and a lot of interest. It was quite exciting to talk and discuss with you. I wish you all a good and final sport for 2015. There's not much more to go for this year, and we will see the latest, I assume, most of you back at JP Morgan in January, if not before that. Maybe if you allow me one last remark, for those of you who like to dig into epigenetics into more details, there has been lately a quite unique report by the research team of Citi, Andrew Baum and his team published an in-depth report about epigenetic drugs, the next big thing, ? I mean, the opinion of 4C about this is obvious, but if you want to read that, it's just a recommendation from my end. In other case, stay tuned for our news flow that we will have in 2015 and 16. And by that, I conclude this call, and thank you all. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.